We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
That's Herm Edwards. Put your name on it. It's one of my favorite rants that doesn't get the run it should.
I haven't heard that one.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's different than you play to win the game. But, Steiny, I just want to tell the 49er fan base you're welcome on behalf of them thanking me for clearly putting into a chain of events into place because, according to Michael Lombardi, the Niners traded up to get Mac Jones. Well, when I confronted Mr. Lombardi about that notion, saying that he'd be available at 12, and we went back and forth in a spirited exchange, well, the Niners were alerted to the fact that, Dibs may be right. And, you know, I'm friends with Mr. Guido, so I know that they refer to me as such. And, yeah, Dibs is probably right. He will be available at 12. What about this Trey Lance kid from North Dakota State? So perhaps I was the trigger man here, Steiny, because Michael Lombardi's right. I mean, they're clearly listening to what the fans and the media say, which is why they switched from Jones to Lance.
Well, I'm going to be honest, Dibs. I think it was a combination of you and Box Kev on Twitter because Box Kev was really worried that they were going to take Mac Jones, and he had a pretty big presence on Twitter, and I'm sure Kyle and John Lynch saw it.
Just real quick, Steiny, as we mentioned Box, today is Box Day. It's his birthday, so not only Cinco de Mayo, but yeah, I caught that on the Twitter. So quick shout out to Box. It's not Boxing Day. That's December 26th.
Right.
It's Box Day, May 5th.
Cool. So you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMC FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey station, and this segment's brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full-service banking, no compromises. Goo, maybe I'm not understanding something. I'm serious. So you said put your – like, isn't that what Lombardi's doing? Like, Lombardi is saying, I call BS on the 49ers saying it was Trey Lance all along. I'm Michael Lombardi, and I'm here to tell you they felt the pressure from the outside, and that was an impetus to change their mind.
I call BS, Steiny, because you, Dibs, Spadoni, and Kyle can do that. Okay, we don't got the resume that Lombardi does. What I'm saying is if you feel so strong with that allegation, give us a source. Give us a name. And that's what I'm getting tired of because what it sounds like is bad wine, sour grapes, that you got it wrong and you told everybody, it was going to be Mac Jones, so he's taking one for the team. That's what I don't like about it. And can I add this? I'm taking the show off the track, Jack. I got an ego. Let go of my ego, Dibs. There are some hosts here when it's their birthday. You know, the digital team will put a picture. Happy birthday, Dibs. I'm not one of them. I'm not saying I want that, but it's May 19th. So, it makes you feel special. It don't happen for me, but some hosts at the station, they get the happy birthday bonanza. I'm just saying, if you want to do it for all, hey, I'm here. That's all I'm saying.
That's an interesting one because I know they just put one out for Kate Scott's birthday, which was
a short number.
Actually, it's funny you mention it because I saw that cross a few days ago. Between 2 and 5 days, I'm not exactly sure when, but now you've got me thinking, who's going to get more social media traction, the Kate Scott birthday message or the Goo birthday message?
Well, oh, boy.
When day parts collide.
Right, Steiny? Yeah, I'm begging to get on there, so Kate's got me, yeah. But I just saw that. I was like, man, I wish maybe they could put me up.
Steiny, no, I think it's cute, Steiny, that they're still at that age, and I'm sure. Speaking for Kate, but they're still at that age where you look forward to your birthday as opposed to me. I'm hoping they bury it on page D10 below the auto racing agate.
Yeah. I'm 35. I don't even feel shame lying.
I can't
hope
think
your
of
your birthday is booming.
I can't think of anything that ties in more than company birthdays than the fact that we have a guy who works in our office whose sole attribute is memorizing everybody's birthday. John Curley. You know that he does that, right, dude?
No, yeah, right. That is great. Man.
John Curley knows when everybody's birthday is. It's just what he remembers. Now, you talk about sad, and you talk about information that you're maintaining that doesn't mean anything. The poor guy.
Ah. Well, he would argue that it means actually everything because that kid's all heart. He's all heart and those ruddy red cheeks. And it's kind of cool when he comes, hey, happy birthday, Dibber Claus. It's like, bro, I'm trying to keep it down. You know, I'm 35 now. Liar.
Real Can a guy be too good of a guy? This. I mean, that's
yes. Yes.
Right, exactly. That's why
and
I can't
it's a good thing.
It.
We need more of John Curley's in the world. Real quick, Dibs, I got to tell you, he comes in one Christmas, this going in my book, gives me and Steiny gifts, and we didn't have gifts to give it to him.
Yeah.
And it was the total want-to-get-away moment, but the guy had effort, gifts wrapped, and me and Steiny had nothing for him. I've never felt worse in my life.
Yeah.
I addressed that the following year, though, Dibs. I mean,
you headed off at the pass, and you said.
Not with Curley. Not with Curley.
Oh, but with Goo.
No, with Kyle and Spadoni.
Gotcha.
Actually. Because quietly, and Kyle, 2 years ago, Kyle brought me a six-pack of a beer, a good lager, and I didn't have anything for him. And but I got him back this past Christmas.
Okay.
I bought, got him and Spadoni a 12-pack of Yingling beer from back east.
Huh.
By the way, how was that, guys?
It was good. Perfect if you're golfing.
That's the thing is, I have not drank it yet because I have not gone golfing with my friends in a while. But that is what we are taking when we go. I have sources reporting to me, though, that John Curley did not know that it was Kate Scott's birthday earlier this week.
Huh.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
You know, we're doing
She's relatively new. She's relatively new here at 95.7 The Game. I know. I'm surprised.
That's crazy.
Letting it slip. I got a question for 49er fans. Do you really believe that the fan outcry, the pre-draft fan outcry, was it any factor at all? Because that's a big, I don't want to say accusation, but if Mike Lombardi is basically saying they succumb to fan pressure. And that's like the one thing that no GM has ever said he'll ever do, essentially. Outside of Brian Sabian, maybe, who said you have to take into consideration Giant fans. But what do you think happened, Dibs?
I think that they liked the player, and that's why they made the pick. I don't think the fan hubbub or the murmurs did anything to affect the selection they made. I think that they were privately, once the decision became clear in the building, which the reports are it was the Monday before the pick on Thursday, where John and Kyle finally said to each other who they wanted, and they were in agreement that it'd be Lance. From that point forward, it was pure joy with the speculation. And then they unleashed the owner. Not that the owner has to be unleashed, but he clearly went to John and he went to Kyle and said, now, guys, is it time? And they probably had a laugh together. And then he sent out all his vague tweets about, oh, you know, looking forward to tomorrow. What are you guys doing tomorrow? You know, because he doesn't come out and playfully poke the fan base unless he knows that they're going to go with the popular pick. And so at that point, you got a sense that they were going in that direction. So I think all of the Twitter and the streets, as Guru likes to report from, none of that affected them. Once they got a second look at Trey Lance and he made the throws and he did the movements that they wanted to see and they loved it, at that point, it was a done deal.
And think about what you're saying, Steiny. How weak is that of your FO if they gave in to what the Twitter streets were saying? But I will say this. Lynch has played in this game. He knows what it's like to hear noise on and off the field. So he ain't a candidate. Kyle Shanahan's took this team from 4-12 to a Super Bowl. I believe he could give a rat's behind. But I will say this about what Lombardi said. It was so odd seeing Jed York on Twitter like he was having a fight with himself or a conversation to where the euphoria came for him to be able to tweet what he was tweeting. And it does have just a little piece of me thinking, Dibs and Steiny, did he put his foot down and celebrate and change, make them change the pick and conform to what he wanted so he could go do that? Now, that is crazy and far-fetched, but those tweets bother me, Dibs.
Get off of Twitter.
Yeah, I will, Bob, but something was off with those tweets. Like, this man's happy. He can gloat.
He can gloat because he knows it's going the way of public opinion. That's why he can gloat. He's not gloating that they got it right because nobody knows. But for Jed York to go from where he was back in Leakgate, back when everything was so leaky, and it didn't all come from him, but he's at the top of the pyramid, Steiny, and that the house was not in order. And he learned a valuable lesson that he needs to not be heard from and not really seen in most ways. And so he took a giant step back, and he turned it over to Kyle and John, and they've done well. And so now this was his chance to kind of step out of the shadows a little bit and have just some fun, Goo. And ultimately, if imagine if he did all that on Twitter and then they took Mac Jones and then didn't play well, there would be an absolute fire.
Gosh.
It would be a forest fire of emotion against the owner. And, you know, he's already been through it once, Steiny. So I think that when he did that, he was saying, look, you know, we're doing what you wanted, and I'm going to have a little fun with it.
So the trade was what, March 26th? And the draft was after April. So
a week ago tomorrow, yeah.
Okay, so there was essentially a month. Here's the other thing. So what if he changed his mind? What if he did change his mind? What if they made the pick and they had Lance Jones on their mind, or Mac Jones on their mind, and Kyle was like, yeah, now let's just go do our homework. And a week into the process, they're like, boy, this Trey Lance guy is kind of interesting. Now 2 weeks into the process, they're like, huh, maybe we do want to take this guy. And maybe Jed weighs in and says, well, I'll tell you right now, the fan base would definitely prefer Trey Lance. Oh, okay. Well, that's interesting to know. No coincidence, but we're starting to lean in that direction a little bit. I mean, like, who cares? Who cares how it comes about? Whether Lynch talked him into it, whether, you know, Adam Peters, Lynch, and Jed York talked him into it, whether he made the decision. Does any of that really matter? I guess it does if the fans actually made Kyle change his mind. That seems far-fetched.
Very far-fetched. Yeah. And I think, Goo, another piece of this is, what did Jimmy Garoppolo think? Because if Garoppolo came out and said, I don't care who you draft, you better get rid of me because I'm not helping anybody. Well, then maybe you're not so enthused about taking Trey Lance if you don't think he's ready. So I think that there are so many other pieces that played into it far ahead of, hey, what is the public sentiment on this?
But give me this, and I hear you, Dibs, real quick, Steiny and Dibs. There's a part of this, Lombardi, I feel like he's doing one for the culture of the media guys who, let's be honest, now this is a thing, they got it wrong. The world told us it was Mac Jones, Steiny, and I know it's nothing to Kyle and John, but to the masses in the social media world, it is something, because we're saying, oh, you guys, not just one person, you guys got it wrong, and that's why I feel like he said that so strongly, and I wish, and I know he wouldn't do it, you don't out anybody, but if you're going to go there and accuse him of changing it and giving in and being weak, I just think you got to come up with a name to where we could, you know, get to the bottom of it.
Yeah.
You got no right to get to the bottom of it. And bottom line is, here's the game, and it's going to happen in every draft. The draft is coming up for the Warriors. Well, they're going to talk about who they're going to take, and they don't want us, the public, to know about it. And normally we find out. This time we didn't. They won this one. But you know what? The fans should be happy because they got the player that they wanted anyway. So this is a win-win to me.
888-957-9570. I'd like to know what 49er fans make of Michael Lombardi saying, oh, they definitely changed their mind because it was Mac Jones early. is this just the media feeling a little sorry for itself because they couldn't break through? I mean, I can give you firsthand stories about what it's like to be a reporter and know that you don't have anything. Trust me, it's not the best feeling in the world. 888-957-9570 is the number. We'll talk more 49ers on the other side on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Don't tell him, please, Kyle. Don't tell him. Whatever you do, I can't have Steiny know. Are we back? Shoot. Awkward. Well, here's the thing, Goo. I got a little action right now. I'm trying to close up a three-team parlay here. I opened up a parlay with West Ham. Man City kicked it forward yesterday, and I got action in this Champions League semi, but if I tell Steiny, I'm afraid of what might happen, Goo. I'm afraid that...
Steinmush.
You like Steinmush, or do you like Mushu Steinmetz? Because either one, I'm afraid.
I don't like either of those at all. So just be aware that I don't like either of them.
Well, you put the mush on Goo last night in our family.
What made him type it, though? That's
our
not
family
his style.
Thread, Goo. Yeah. Warriors up 9 and Steiny. Oh, this is gold.
Celebrate.
It's a lock. I got to tell you, pop some bottles. I mean, he went overboard to put it in the bank. So
use the emoji. I mean, yeah. Steiny had emojis going on.
I did have emojis going.
Emojis, yeah. Oh, I love these emojis. He was feeling some kind of way. So, Kyle, whatever you do, do me a favor. Don't tell Steiny what side I'm on in this Chelsea-Real Madrid, please. Thank you.
I'm trying to get the exact time.
And they hit like three buckets to where I was like, that's it. They're going to win it. Steiny didn't.
Our text thread was kind of. So that was at.
That thing got away from us last night.
Yeah.
6:22. So it's about 6:30 that I texted. I texted Goo and said, Guru, cash your money. And I used one of those money bag emojis. It's the first time I ever
alert,
used that.
Major bag.
I said, ain't no jinx tonight. Congratulations. And Dan Dibley wrote back immediately, sucks.
Wow.
Right.
And
what
I said,
nope,
pop the champagne.
You can hear the record player scratching when Diz chimed in like, how dare you do that?
That sucks. 888-957-9570. Do you believe in jinxes? Because when I saw that, I was like, that sucks. And then I averted my eyes from my phone back to the game, and I think Steph dribbled one off his leg or Wiggins, you know, missed a shot. Something bad happened. I thought, oh, Steinmetz, he's done it again.
I
was surprised.
I know logically it doesn't work. Like a text message from Matt Steinmetz to us is not going to make Steph Curry go 1-for-12 down the stretch. But
true,
anecdotally in my brain, 100% of the time, it works. It happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt bad. Because after the game,
you
I wrote.
You did feel bad.
I actually
the second
did.
Second time you did it.
Kyle, did I feel bad?
He texted me on the side. He's like, hey, I'm kind of worried. I think I messed up.
Hashtag side thread. And again, this all plays off of Guru's lock of the day coming up at 118. Yeah. He may or may not have had the Warriors on the money line with a nine point lead that's signing. Hey, cash it. Champagne. Hey, mimosas.
Cash me out one time.
Thank you, Kevin.
I'm over 500 for the year betting on the Warriors, but people on Twitter go, you're the reason they lost. And I'm in the living room standing up. They're a 500 team. How is it? I wish it was just my bet. Come on.
Right.
Anyway,
right.
I had to get that off my chest.
Well, it's just
I'm
like when you send out on Twitter, hey, no hit. We got a no-hitter through 8 innings. And then that pitcher gives up a flare to left center. It's like, oh, you ruined it. You jinxed it.
Our boss hates that. That's real. I didn't want to say it. That's real. You got to be quiet. You don't want to talk about it and jinx it, Sonny, the no-no. I had one. You just City American Little League. I was 14.
What,
you threw
I bet
a no-hitter?
It was not a nine-inning
game. No. Yeah, 14 strikeouts, 7 innings.
Of course it was 7 innings.
Yeah, Mike Santiago threw my arm out. Him and my dad and I is our secret. Hey. But I could have been in the majors. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Steiny.
Oh, man. Jeez, Goo. I was going to pay you a compliment. And now you actually said you could have pitched in the majors. Forget it. You're done.
Why do you think Jordan Bell would have had such a hard time with him in a one-on-one game? He's that elite-level athlete. Well, forget media basketball. You know,
the one I was going to give him a compliment about is bowling. The guy throws a bowling ball down an alley as hard as I've ever seen a guy throw a bowling ball down an alley. I will give him that.
He got spare issues, though. He's strike or nothing.
What about real quick? My first pitch at the A's game. You came down my road for taking it too serious, Dibs, but Bo Mel said I had some heat on that thing. I'm just saying.
God. Yeah. Well, when you've thrown as many as I have, I've actually got a quality start worth of first pitches. So, you know, they're like my children. I love them all the same.
But the other here's the other text. Here's the other text that I sent. And I was trying to be, you know, on the text line, I was trying to be constructive. And I said, I'm seriously surprised they lost. And I'm talking about the Warriors. But nothing changes big picture. Right, Gu? Yeah, I was surprised they lost, but nothing changes big picture. They're fine, right?
Well, again, I don't want them to play Portland, so I'll take the L. I just need to know when Pascal and Lee are coming back. I really do want to know that, because if you're going eight, Steve Young against, you know, you're playing foe, it's not going to work, and it's taking a toll, and hopefully they'll get that alleviated by the time the playoffs start.
So when you say you don't want to play Portland, what is, like, so you
Portland's
wanted to get to
Nurkic? They got Cantor.
Right.
Those are two
right,
things
but
we
what
don't
I'm saying
have.
Is, okay. Right, but what I'm saying is Portland's kind of out of your control. They're going to finish. They're not going to finish ninth, right?
Like, well, right now they're playing up. Right now we would hook up with them, and I don't want that. And if we keep keep winning and they keep winning, or you know they're just steady Freddy and both of us. That would be your opponent. That would be a nightmare. That would be your second worst nightmare to the Lakers.
No, your worst nightmare would be to finish ninth or tenth. I mean, you'd certainly rather take two cracks at it than one, right?
Absolutely. And you are in a flat-footed tie right now with Memphis in that eighth spot, and Memphis plays tonight, and if they win, you are ninth. So I don't even think you can get into what you were talking about, Steiny, with your dad. Beggars can't be choosers, and you're not going to stack wins, most likely. You got six games left all at home. The likelihood is you go 3-3, because that's what you've been all year long. You've stolen a few. You've given a few away. Last night stings because you could have put the Pelicans out of their misery. You could have done your boy Greg Popovich a solid, because San Antonio's dropped four in a row, and they're hearing footsteps a little bit.
Utah tonight. Yeah,
so it's not an easy road for the Spurs, and the Warriors inadvertently helped them last night.
Yeah. Let's go to Drew. Drew's in Oakland. Let's talk a little Warriors before we get back to the Niners. What's up, Drew?
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, and Simons, by the way, that Jimmy Joe is a Jimmy joke. He can take a hike with Lombardi. What you guys were talking about earlier, I'm a season ticket holder for the Warriors, and that money thing makes sense, you know, because that's a privately funded stadium or arena, I'm sorry. And they haven't had, you know, people buying hot dogs and beers and ticket sales for a couple of years now. And not only the Warriors game, but they were trying to get, you know, two concerts a week in there with, you know, Metallica and all those guys.
Sure.
And they haven't had anything in there. So, you know, you got to save money when you can. But I got a couple questions to ask you guys. Maybe your crack producers can get the answers. A friend of mine told me that the Warriors, whether they win or lose the first game of a back-to-back, have not won the second game all season long. I don't know if that's true. And also, second question, I'll let you answer it off the air here, is that, you know, I don't see stars, not even superstars, just mid-level guys rushing to want to play with Clay, Steph, and Draymond like, you know, they are with LeBron. Or in, you know, different sport, football, where they're all rushing to take the minimum to play with Brady, even on the Buccaneers, and when he was on the Patriots, you know, they couldn't wait to play with him. Why do you think we're not getting some of those mid-level guys wanting to come here? Whether, you know, I know not this year because you're not going to get a title, but in the off season, how can we get some guys in here as a good sixth and seventh guy? Thank you, guys. You guys have a good day.
I think that's a fair question. If I'm a player in the league, it's not that I don't want to come to the Warriors. It's that they're not the team they were 4 years ago. And you got to kind of see, you know, I'd, I'd, I mean, I'd come here if the money were equal, but it's not the premier destination in the NBA right now. I think we can agree on that, right?
Absolutely. And if you're looking at the new NBA where players can pretty much force their way out at any time and then dictate where they go, it's based on chip chasing. And the Warriors were among the best at it when they were the preeminent destination. So you can't begrudge players for chasing the championship. But right now, if you're an elite player and you want to force your way out, Golden State is not your primary destination. So they have to do it kind of through the David West and the Andre Iguodalas, guys who were great, good pieces, solid veterans, Sean Livingston, bringing those types of guys, get to the point where you are the attractive destination again and then be able to lure a big boy.
How are you going to do that if you don't have the resources? You're going to trade somebody, going to trade for Wiggins? Dude, it's a nightmare. I know this is for another show, but when we get to it, the autopsy on what was the 2021 Warriors season and what awaits them, poor double shot.
Okay. Yeah, it's Steph, Dre, Clay, and Wiggins, and you hope that it's Wiseman, a couple of draft picks, and a plucky little improved bench that makes a run next year. And so then next year in the offseason, you can have a look at, okay, now Wiggins has 1 year left. Now you can look at, you know, a possible ability to move off of some players and maybe do some things. But this year, you're hoping for draft picks and improvement.
Yeah. The Warriors have done – they've won back-to-backs three times this year. So I'm not sure that – that stat wasn't right to the caller that cited it. January 3rd and 4th, they beat the Blazers and Kings back-to-back. April 14th and 15th, they beat the Thunder, then the Cavs. And on February 23rd and 24th, they beat the Knicks and the Pacers.
I think what he meant was back-to-back opponents. And maybe he also meant on back-to-back nights. But they beat Minnesota. It wasn't back-to-back nights, but it was back-to-back opponents back in January. And they split with Dallas. There's a split with the Spurs. And
split
as you go through.
Blazers early in the year, I want to
say, too. They split with the Grizzlies. And you know, I think other than the Minnesota.
Had that game. Yeah. But, Saturday night.
You sure did. Sorry. You sure did. Nice job, Goo.
Yeah, and, you know, the other thing about the Warriors' payroll and the fact that they're saving some money right now, nobody's saying Joe Lacob doesn't have deep pockets, but it all makes sense to me. You know, you had a new building that should have been sold out, you know, 270 times in the last year, and instead it was 0.0. You got no use out of it. I just think right now, if you're Joe Lacob and you're the ownership group, you're out of the luxury tax, you're not saying, you know what, let's go back into the luxury tax for a guy who's going to be a marginal player who's probably not going to help us. I fully anticipate down the road, if they need to do something, they'll do it. But right now, I mean, pandemics cost them money. Oh. Millions and millions.
Yeah, licking wounds right now. That's what they're doing. They're licking their wounds. And you can't come out fighting if you got some wounds. And right now, when you lose that much money, think about it, Goo. All those events, this place opened, and it was going to be the greatest thing this side of the country as far as live events. Yeah. You know, Staples Center, Madison Square, there's some great venues in this country, and this is going to be on par with them, and it hopefully will be. But to lose out on a full year, one full rack of all that revenue, man, imagine how many people would have gone to a concert, and this building's pretty fun. I'll go to a Warrior game, or gone to a Warrior game and thought, man, I'd love to see a concert here, and Ice Capades and all the other tomfoolery. I can't imagine. Hopefully someday Joe Lacob, maybe you can get him to text you, Steiny, because I know he's a big fan of the show. Joe, what'd you lose? What'd you lose, Joe? I mean,
but whatever that note, go ahead.
It's got to be nine digits, Goo. 100 million?
I'll say this, Dibs. I would think so. I'll say this to both of you. Life, not only my own tribulations, but other people that I know are in situations, and the one remedy that can fix it is money. and the people don't have the money to do it. So that's where stress, frustration sets in. And I know Joe's pockets have taken a hit. But when you have the money he has, guys, we are almost, and I ain't a doctor, Daryl Fauci, but this pandemic seems to be, you know, we're getting a handle on it to where fans are going to be able to get back. So where I'm going, guys, is he'll be able to get back sooner than somebody that will never touch, you know, the resources they need to get out of the situation. So I don't feel sorry from that point, Steiny. But what I do feel where I'm going here is you say they're saving money, and when will that kitty be spent? It'll be in the off season when you can go shopping and get you hopefully a big boy if you did this or that. Because right now you got the Gary Paytons of the second of the world, who I love, but there's no player out there where you're going to get and bring into this nucleus and that be the reason you win a first-round playoff series if you get there. And I ain't dissing any player, because Lee and Pascal will be back by the playing game. Put that in the cap.
Okay, based on what sort of guru medical journal are we going to – the Guru Journal of Medicine?
Now, well, Lee's been out 10 to 14 for the protocol. That'll be up. So we got
I'm going to give you Lee. Just we're going to give you Lee and hope that there's no, you know, setbacks or no additional, you know, testing issue. But Pascal, you're going to have to sell me on
13 days until the game, May 18th.
Yeah, Dr. Gu, you're going to have to sell me on Pascal and his timetable to return, because
he was already supposed to come back. Yeah, it was his wind. He wasn't ready, Stoney. They were saying wind-wise, he wasn't ready. So when I heard that last night, I'm like, okay, it's not about, you know, him getting on the court. It's just about his endurance. So I'm giving him, 13, 14 days? He'll be right. But they need him.
He was not very good this year before he got hurt. He was starting to get exposed a little bit. I'm a little concerned with Pascal, to tell you the truth.
Well, you should be.
About
should
the future of his NBA career. How about that? I'm going that way. We still have Jonathan.
Our guy, all right,
Jonathan. Let's go to Jonathan. Jonathan in the city. Talked to Jonathan. What's up, man?
Hey, what's up, guys? I just want to say, man, you know, Michael Lombardi, he's sour grapping because he felt like he got used. You know, they sent out a smoke screen, and he ran away with it because he's so eager to just drop the, you know, the hot stove stuff, right? But, you know, he's acting like a tool now the same way you would use a bidet, by saying Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, those guys with, you know, their stature, you're saying they got swayed by a Facebook poll and a text thread. That's so demeaning, man. I won't be surprised if they never talk to him ever again unless they want to use him again.
Yeah, we're here and they're there.
There you go.
In terms of the front office and the
we're here and they're there.
That was one of the all-time greats. You know what? I didn't even look at it from that point of view. Like, if Kyle Shanahan reads that quote and it's not true,
they're done.
That would be kind of a slap in the face.
Dibs, would you talk to me ever again in life? I mean, that's what he did. But Lombardi called him out. Basically, he said, called him liars.
Said
well,
a crock
you don't
of
have
crap.
To address it. Yeah, and you know what? He could be right that a month earlier, they could have been thinking Mac Jones is the pick. And Kyle told you there's five guys, not to always bring it back to the hamburger goo, especially around lunchtime. I know you start getting hungry. We talk about five
Rumbles,
guys. But
yeah,
if you take him at his word that he would have been happy with any of the five guys, then Mac Jones was right there. And maybe the Trey Lance second pro day was so eye-popping that Lance did leapfrog Mac Jones. That is a possibility. But bottom line, it does come across a little sour grapesy, and it's a vindication sensation for your guy, Dibber Claus, who saw Mac Jones slide ahead of the experts.
You did, Dibs. You did. And that was a bet that I couldn't jinx, even though because what'd you get? You took Trey Lance at 300?
No, plus 175. I didn't beat the entire move, but I beat.
That's nice.
I beat the because Goo, you and I were on the air a week ago.
I'll never forget it.
Liquidate All Assets coming up today at 2:15, and we saw that thing swing at the moment, and then I was able to get a piece before it swung all the way to Trey Lance being the favorite.
You can't even tell, Dibs. I was flustered, Steiny, when he gave me that number. Vegas don't play. Chris Tucker, the money talks, Charlie Sheen. And when he said it was minus for, I was like, there's your quarterback. There's your next quarterback for the Niners. We've been hoodwinked. We've been bamboozled.
Well, the question I the,
led astray.
The question I have, and maybe listeners know who are into this stuff, what made the Vegas line move late?
Wow.
What was it? Was it a compilation of all the pundits and media people, Dibs, starting to backpedal a little bit? Or do they actually have, you know, inside sources somewhere? Because I don't know.
I think it's just the punditry, and I don't know the exact tweet, but Mike Silver had one sometime in or about Wednesday morning where he was hearing whispers, I think is what he said, about from GMs and coaches that the Niners are taking a hard look at Trey Lance as the pick. And when that came, the level of gravitas from Mike Silver, the timing of it, and just the nature of kind of a consensus among those in the know, among GMs and coaches, because Michael Silver, he's connected. He knows, I'm sure he's had a conversation with every GM and every coach. It's his business. So when he came out with that, I think that kind of swung things. And then the more you looked at it from an objective standpoint, it made too much sense for it not to be him.
Right, right. It's funny the way we now look at it, and you can actually ask yourself, you know, how the hell did we even think it was going to be Mac Jones? But a lot of people clearly thought it was going to be Mac Jones. One thing we brought up yesterday is we talked a little bit about a comparison between Trey Lance and James Wiseman. Is and that's what I'm gonna give it to you on the other side at 888-957-9570. If you're a 49er fan or Warrior fan, is there a comparison, do you think, to be made between James Wiseman and between he and Trey Lance in terms of their youth and maybe what you can or can't expect from them too soon? Because I've heard both sides of this, and I'd love to know what the fans think. Is there a comparison to be made between James Wiseman, a 19-year-old whom the Warriors drafted, and Trey Lance, a 20-year-old that the San Francisco 49ers drafted?
Boy, that's a great question.
888-957-9570 is the number, and it's all sponsored by Network Capital.
Now, back to Steiny, Guru, and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
All right, we're having fun today. Absolutely, we're having fun. I am. Dibs, you having a good day?
Awesome.
How'd you play yesterday? I know you were out there with your son, knocking the ball around. Fun time?
It didn't make it. Healthy scratch. You know, sometimes you deal with the biorhythms of the day, and sometimes you can make it, other times you can't. So we'll try again. We'll try and get back out there.
The hell with the kids.
Dude, what'd you do yesterday after work?
After work? I took my son to basketball practice.
Oh, nice. Nice. Yeah. And, of course,
I didn't go in either, Stoney. I stayed in the car. I don't want to be that dad. You know, I've been going in, watching practice. You can't do that.
Oh, no, Goo.
Yeah, I stayed in the car. Listen to Damon Radulikowski.
Yeah, I mean,
shout out Kolsky, new dad, had a baby girl.
Wait,
he had another one?
Yeah.
I thought this was a
six. Yeah.
No, this is a second, I believe, right?
That's called another one.
Right? Not five, not six. Come on, Spadoni. Yeah.
Congratulations to
Kolsky family.
Yeah, you know, I mean, think about when we were kids. If our parents would have even thought to go watch a practice, first of all, my coach would have been like, hit the pike to my dad. But my dad would have never done it in the first place. Come on.
You drive far. You don't want to just, you know, you're not watching to be Lamar Ball, Dibs. You're kind of like, hey, we're can I hang around? Dude. I don't want to have to drive 30 miles across town and come back.
That I get. But
as a coach, many, many years in high school, it's pretty unnerving to have a parent there at practice, especially one who I'm sure was would provide some input along the way. Daryl, get back on defense. I got it, sir.
I wasn't the only either, Dibs. I wasn't the only one, Stoney. There were some others there. I'm sure they were taking notes. But anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I mean, honestly, if I had a, if I were a coach, I would not allow the parents to be at practice. Flat out.
Good luck. Good luck with that.
No, seriously, Dibs, you can't not practice.
This is not
Stiney, problems, I agree with you wholeheartedly, 100%. But you're drawing a line in the sand. You know, it can be done. Don't get me wrong.
Okay.
And, you know, it just depends on what level of gravitas you have as a coach and what the school's policy is, et cetera. It's not as easy as, you know, parents will not be welcome. Well, next thing you know, the parents get together and they oust you. The parents, you know, so many coaches have been run out by parent groups. It's sick.
They got power, Dibs. Yeah, parents okay, got power.
We in here talking about practice.
I buy all that, Dibs, but I guess my question is, how did we go from it was completely understood that parents had no place at a practice to Guru, I guess, is what I'm saying.
And others, yeah. It ain't just me watching practice, yeah.
Well, it's the empowerment and the enabling of parents to where, you know, you go to Little League games and the parents are, you know, overcoaching their kid while their kid's in the box or they're barking at the umpire. And it's just the role of parents in youth sports has gotten so far out of control and parents go largely unchecked. You've talked about the PCA before, the Positive Coaching Alliance, right, of which I've been through many, many seminars. And it's great. The lessons they deliver are wonderful, but most of them don't take hold. Parents go back to their old behavior.
Wow. Jeez.
All right. Well, that's a little demoralizing, if I may say so myself.
Mm-hmm.
I would not want to conduct a practice in front of parents. But
and remember, real quick here, Stoney, it used to be, oh, little Jimmy's not doing this in practice, and I wonder how much that stems from it. And all these parents are paying these trainers. They want their kids to get a D1 scholarship. They're monitoring. They're watching. What are you teaching my kid? It is bad. And I think the coach appreciated that the caddy just drove off when I dropped him off.
Yeah. I know I would. I would. Now, I'd be happy to talk to you after practice all day. You know, and you want to talk about your kid? We can talk about your kid. I mean, one thing your kid needs to start doing is boxing out, because apparently Steve Kerr, I don't think anybody boxes out him. Does your kid box out? Does Darryl Jr. box out?
Yeah, he does. He tries. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Hey, I do want to talk a little bit about Trey Lance and how we're going to kind of regard his rookie season. And what do we expect from him? And I guess the question I have, Goo, to you is that if after seeing kind of what Wiseman went through his rookie year, do you look at – and I get it's football versus basketball, but Trey Lance is 20. Do you – how do I want to put this? Do you look at Trey Lance a little differently coming into the NFL now that you've seen the adjustment Wiseman had to make, or no, that's apples to oranges?
No, it's apples to apples in this sense. It's different for me. It's the fact that their last year at their locales, they didn't play. And I think that means something. And we know, you know, that Trey Lance wasn't playing Dibs top tier, you know, colleges, you know, with an abundance of talent. To me, that's the major question. It's not between the ears, but the speed of the game for Trey Lance to say, oh, but Carson Wentz did do it. I'm not at North Dakota State. You know, it's faster. How long is it going to take him to grasp that? Or he already may have that. And why I don't like the comparison real quick here, guys, from a physical standpoint, Trey Lance is a stud, and Wiseman was weak in regard to his physique needed, you know, not just bulk, but and his legs needed to get strong, Dib. So Lance has that over Wiseman.
We haven't yet seen what Lance could do if he had to withstand the punishment of a 16-game, 17-game NFL season. And we saw James Wiseman and the vertical spacing in the dunker spot be able to overwhelm at times some grown men in the league. So it's not totally fair to say he's weak. Now, he got injured, and that's unfortunate. And you hope, for Trey Lance's case, that he doesn't have to play much, if at all, this year, because if Jimmy G gets hurt at the same point in the season this year as he did last year, well, then we'll see if Trey Lance is really ready in week 4 of 17 to step in, or if it'll be, you know, one of the various Sudfelds or Rosens who steps forward before Trey Lance. So I like the comparison, Steiny. I think I actually was the first one to make it, and it's been subsequently taken by many shows and many day parts, stations across this fine country of ours. But I'll say this. The Niners are hoping they don't have to use Lance as much as the Warriors did Wiseman.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, I got you there. Wow. I got you there.
Because that would mean that Jimmy G got hurt. I mean, ideally, Trey Lance is your Swiss Army knife. He comes in mop-up situations a couple times in wins, and Jimmy G plays all 17. You go 12-5, and you have a home game in the playoffs. And, you know, maybe Trey Lance throws 40 to 50 passes. He might catch a couple passes. He'll run it a few times. You know, you Taysom Hill him, he learns, and then you turn it over to him.
Yeah, I think that's the – oh, did we ever – is that a little Brian in Palo Alto?
I dropped a little Brian in there talking about how I was the first one to come up with that comparison.
What would you guys set the – Dibs, real quick, what would you set the odds at? Because, Steiny, I'm over here like in a perfect world, selfishly, I want to see Lance in there. If he were to beat Jimmy out in camp, Dibs, what would those odds be right now? Plus 1 million? I mean, that's not going to happen, right? Like, is that almost impossible? Tom Cruise, impossible.
Yeah, I'd put it at 40 to 1, so plus 4,000. 40 to 1 odds that he beats Jimmy G out. Now, if Jimmy G gets hurt in camp or if something else happens, that's a different story. But if Jimmy G's healthy, they're both healthy in camp, I'd say it's a very long shot that he beats him out.
Isn't the question, when I'm thinking about, okay, when will Lance take the field? And the one thing I'm going to think is a truism is Trey Lance is not going to know the offense as well as Jimmy Garoppolo by the end of the first year. Would you agree with that, Goo? In other words, let's just say at the end of his rookie year, he will still not have the command of the offense that Garoppolo has now. Let's say,
I have to give Jimmy credit. Yes, I just can't say he's had a head start. Hell yes.
So then the question to me becomes: is there a point where Shanahan believes that he's better off with Trey Lance, despite the playbook being simpler or less complicated for Lance as opposed to Garoppolo? Like, is that really what we're looking at? Because Lance is not going to have a grasp of it, the whole entire playbook that first year.
I think to answer that, they would rather have Garoppolo and his skills with a bigger playbook than Lance's athleticism in a smaller playbook. Hmm. To me, if he was going to power rank it, the playbook would come before of where Trey Lance is right now. Now, in a year, or hopefully sooner, when Trey Lance does have the full command of the playbook, well, then, now you're thrilled at Lance because he'll know as much as Jimmy Garoppolo. But right now, that gap is going to be so significant that the playbook supersedes Trey Lance's ability.
Yeah. That makes sense.
I always wonder how much, you know, we've heard rumor or let the streets tell it, and I always bring this up, that Shanahan is using a condensed playbook for Jimmy. I wonder actually how much, if that's in fact true, I do believe it to be true, how much, Steiny? Like, is it 30, 40%? You know, those big throws, the outside the hashes, the running aspect of it. Like, I wonder how much Trey Lance, you know, Shanny will be like, man, I can do a lot of things differently than I could with Jimmy in there.
Well, is it safe to assume that when Colin Kaepernick took over for Alex Smith, that he did not have the same command of the entire playbook as Alex Smith?
That's fair.
I don't know. Yeah, but your boy Fangio did a good job. You know?
Right, and clearly Harbaugh thought, you know what, I'll take – Kaepernick was knowing 60% of the plays to Alex knowing 100, I guess.
And how did that work out?
It worked out pretty damn well to the Super Bowl. Yeah, and I think what we saw there is what you would see if Trey Lance was forced into duty. It would be plays designed to his strengths, because you saw a lot more zone read when Kaepernick got the job than you were with Alex Reed. A lot more QB keepers. So you would expect Shanahan would do the same thing.
Yeah, that makes sense. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM, and HD1 San Francisco on Odyssey Station. The segment's brought to you by Fremont Bank, full-service banking, no compromises. Yeah, that's what I'm interested to see. But I guess what, now that I think of best-case scenario, I guess the best-case scenario would be, you know, Trey Lance takes over for Jimmy Garoppolo, let's say best case, just for the heck of it, year one, about halfway through the season. And then the second half of the season, Trey Lance resembles Colin Kaepernick. But I guess the hope is that he will become a part pocket passer that Kaepernick never reached. Lance will reach a level in the pocket that Kaepernick will never have reached. Is that kind of what would be a great transition?
Yeah, and he's not going to ever reach the level of a runner you would figure that Colin Kaepernick did, just by the nature of Kaepernick kind of taking the league by storm with what they ran. He was one of the original purveyors of the zone read, and now it's pretty standard.